Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives Monthly Tuning into the C-Suite podcast. In this podcast series, editors of MHE chat with healthcare professionals and executives in the C-Suite. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery and organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this month's episode. I'm Brianna Contreras, an editor of Managed Healthcare Executive, and featured this month is Brian Adams, President and CEO of Tabula Rasa Healthcare. In the episode, Brian and I got to chatting about value-based care and why the transition to this type of model has been slower than expected for some practices to adopt. Most of our discussion focused on Brian's suggestion of simplifying and personalizing value-based care models to improve health outcomes for patients and reduce costs for organizations who've adopted these models.
Hello, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brianna. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, of course. It's our pleasure here at Managed Healthcare Executive. So just to start, can you tell our listeners about the mission at Tabula Rasa Healthcare and your role?
Absolutely. Tabula Rasa is a healthcare company advancing personalized and comprehensive care for value-based care organizations. We envision a world where the delivery of healthcare is personal and the journey is easy. And ultimately, the quality of care is accessible to all. And our mission, as you asked, is to enable simplified and individualized care that improves the health of those that we serve. I'm the president and CEO of Tabula Rasa, and I've been a member of the leadership team for more than a decade. I've spent most of my career with organizations that serve the frail elderly. And personally, I'm passionate about the work that we do here at Tabula Rasa. It feels great to be part of an organization that's positively impacting people's lives every day.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. And as you mentioned, you've worked, your main focus, I feel, in healthcare has been, working with the elderly or older adults. And what we're talking about today, definitely affects this population. So to dig into it, as CMS has pushed most Medicare and Medicaid payments transitions to value-based care by 2030. In your perspective, why has the shift to value-based care adoption been slower than expected?
I believe that a significant part of the reason that that we're seeing some delays or slower adoption is ultimately that we're not going all in. And what I mean by that is there are parts of care that are covered by at-risk models or by a fixed or capitated payment, but ultimately everything is not being coordinated and or covered under a singular payment. And I think that that's really critical in how we approach and manage risk. And that's, I think, fundamentally an issue with how we're approaching value-based care. When you start to carve out pieces of the care model, I think it really dilutes the opportunity that we have to impact the overall total cost of care and the patient experience. We at Tabula Rasa have a primary market that we're serving, and it's called PACE. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's the Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. This is arguably the most integrated model under CMS, and it's actually surprisingly been around for 50 years. It's primarily focused on dual eligibles that are nursing home eligible as well. And in my opinion, it's probably the best example of value-based care. It's fully at risk and serving our country's most complex patients. So due to a full integration of social, medical, pharmacy benefits, the PACE model has been proven to drastically reduce the total cost of care for participants enrolled in the program. And setting of care is important too, right? These are individuals that are residing in the community instead of in institutional care. But ultimately, it's really, in my mind, about how these financial incentives are designed and how that impacts providers. It's really hard for people to have one foot in fee-for-service and the other in value-based care because, you know, I believe that it's a real mindset shift in how you're approaching and delivering care. And I don't think that we're pushing hard enough to get all of those pieces collectively aligned under, you know, one financial arrangement.
Right. Agreed. Thank you for that. And you mentioned PACE. So is this targeted for enrollees of, you know, of older adults, or is this kind of for anyone?
Today it's focused on individuals that are 55 and older. So these are seniors. And in fact, the individuals that are enrolled in PACE are both Medicare and Medicaid. That makes up the majority of the people enrolled in the program today, that they're dual eligibles. So most of these are frail seniors and are some of the most costly people in our healthcare system.
Agree. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, it was mentioned, you know, that simplifying and personalizing value-based care models, can improve can improve health outcomes for patients and reduce costs. So, can you share maybe how that can work for those who have adopted these value-based models?
Mm-hmm. Personalization, in my mind, is essential to delivering on the value-based care promise, really. And to be honest, the care model can actually be more complex as you think about personalization. And you're taking a very different approach than what you might have been doing while delivering care in a fee-for-service type setting. The same approach to each patient can potentially drive up the cost of care. And if we have the tools to help us better understand the underlying risk profile for each individual and gain insights into how we can reduce and manage that risk, we can be a lot more precise in how we treat each patient. And you know, ultimately, this leads to better outcomes for the patient, too. And we see this every day with the people that we serve here at Tabula Rasa. We've developed a platform that helps to identify the potential risk somebody may experience and have a side effect that ultimately might lead to somebody having a side effect from the medications that they're on. And that can be severe. In fact, you know, according to the CDC, adverse drug events are the cause of 1.3 million emergency room visits each year. And about 350,000 patients each year require hospitalization for additional treatment. So the numbers are really kind of crazy. Our research in the American Journal of Managed Care shows that we've been able to deliver a 10% decrease in emergency room visits and a 10% decrease in hospitalizations through the personalization of medication management. And by reducing these ER visits and hospitalizations, and these value-based care organizations that we partner with not only improve the patient outcomes, but ultimately see a really significant impact on their cost. And the cost part, you know, as you know, and as we're talking about value-based care, is critically important because, especially in PACE, where this model is fully at risk, so they receive a fixed payment for all medical services. And so you have to manage within a certain budget effectively. And so if we're able to help you manage that and reduce those costs, it allows you to devote more of your time and resources to improving patient care and focusing on how to improve the patient experience.
Wonderful. Thank you. If you can share, so can these practices of personalizing value-based care, can they make the shift from fee-for-service to value-based care easier to adopt possibly for some providers?
I think in some cases, yes. First, you have to make it easy. As a partner to value-based care organizations, we believe that's really part of our job. Right? We want to focus on letting the PACE organization or some other provider that's taking on risk deliver the highest level of care they can for their patients. And if we're in a position where we can push actionable insights to providers as close to the point of care as possible and integrate into workflow, that there's a real opportunity for us to speed up the adoption and really see that accelerate. And as I was describing before, one way that we're doing that is through our medication management solution, which is where personalization really comes in. A good example, I'll go one step further, is that people respond differently to medications based on a variety of different factors. And some of those factors include age, genetics, what over-the-counters they're taking. Two or more medications might actually prevent each other from somebody getting the appropriate therapy that they're intended to get. And so we've been developing a platform here that allows for us to really kind of sift through all of the complexities and deliver important insights that can be actioned upon by providers. And in the PACE model, we're actually doing that at the point of care, which is really exciting. And that's exactly where you want to do this because you have the biggest opportunity for an impact, and really trying to reduce that trial and error. Let's try this, let's try that. Ultimately through this platform, we're reducing adverse drug events, which could lead to falls or hospitalizations, ER visits, as I was describing before. Through the work that we've done here, we've identified that somebody using our medication management platform versus somebody else in the PACE market specifically will save $5,000 per member per year on medical costs.
Wow, that's impressive. Thank you. So you've already mentioned, one of the focus areas would be personalizing the medication or like pharmacy space. Mm-hmm. Are there possibly any other areas where providers can focus on personalizing that type of care? Or maybe if so, how does it benefit patients and those providers?
Yeah, there's a lot of examples of companies that are providing tools to assist in migrating towards more personalized models of care, which ultimately improve the patient experience. They can help to reduce costs. Our primary focus here at Tabula Rasa has been around medication management, but we do provide other tools as well to help make that interaction more personal and/or design a care plan that allows for you to make that patient experience more personal. And I think that ultimately, as you look at other areas where that can be done, you do fast track to better outcomes because it's really not, well, one size is not the best solution for everybody, and it can really lead, as I was describing before, to situations where the overall cost of care becomes a lot more expensive, and in fact the experience for providers is not a simple one, because you're trying this and then you're trying that, and you really need to get to what is the right care plan for that patient, and that requires a lot of coordination of care, right? So platforms that are out there that are helping us to coordinate that care across the continuum, whether that be with specialists, whether that be with the team of social workers, it really requires a team effort to deliver on this value-based care model.
Awesome, thank you. Are you able to possibly share anything, with our listeners that I didn't ask on this topic?
You know, you asked a lot of really good questions. And while I would say it may feel like we're moving slowly as it relates to value-based care, there's some great examples of this working really well that have existed for a while, like I was describing with PACE earlier. And you know, ultimately, I think this is something we need to really lean into. And we need to be brave and go all in. And that's a little bit of it's a shift from how we've been approaching and experimenting with value-based care to date. I just look at PACE and I see such a great model of care that's proven to drastically reduce the total cost of care for these really complex patients. And to the extent that we can further adopt that type of model, I think we're all going to benefit from it. And so, you know, the fact that we've got examples out there where this is working really well, we should look to those models and embrace them and try and propagate them. But I think that what I've observed and why that model is successful is because it's fully at risk. It's all in. It's covering social, medical, pharmacy. You need all those pieces together, and you need providers that are that understand that model and are focused on it. And I don't think that we're going to be successful in this migration without having people that understand that mindset, which is very different from fee-for-service. So there's a great opportunity for us to really take what we already have learned and know about and, you know, expose more people to the PACE model itself, and use that as an example for us to lean in and push harder and go fully at risk. And I think that's a model that can work quite well.
Awesome, Brian. Thank you so much for that. And just thank you for your time today and your insight on this topic.
Yes.
I feel more informed, and I believe our listeners will as well. So thank you again.
Great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.